This is the Kindy Rockstars Podcast, Season 5. Bringing you incredibly talented singers, artists, creators, and producers in the genre of children's music. I'm your host, Patrick Adams. Each episode will feature songs, albums, videos, or live performances, along with great stories from the artists themselves. Kindy Rockstar Season 5 is proud to be supported and sponsored by Waltmania Public Relations, serving the family entertainment community for more than 20 years. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Season 5 and a brand new episode of Kindy Rockstars. I am really delighted to have with me today Frank from Roly Poly Guacamole. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it. All right. Well, you're a first-time guest on the show, so let's learn a little bit about you and your band. Tell us how you got into making music for kids and families, and what's your background?
Well, so you know, growing up, my dad actually was in a band called Imagination Workshop Band, which was with Susie Shelton in the 90s. So I kind of got a firsthand, you know, glimpse into early kind of kindy from a very ground up. Like, we'd drive around in the red van the summer and they'd play at different playgrounds and stuff in New York City. And then, you know, Shlomo, who was also in the band, I remember like one summer we drove down to Virginia and, you know, like, just, you know, being in a van with a band, you know, growing up, certainly realized, hey, this is a different way to make a living, you know, that is not your typical thing. Both of my parents are musicians, so I kind of, you know, I was always interested in art and acting and stuff like that. But then, as I got a little older, you know, I started making records myself when I was about 14. I think I made my first EP and I put out a full length album, I think by the time I was 15. And then I've just put out a record almost every single year since then. So, you know, as I got to college, I was like, Andrew, who's the other kind of half of Roly Poly, who's my writing partner. He was at school and I was like, hey, you know, my dad does kids music and this is something we could do. You know, we should write a couple songs or whatever. And I tried to write some songs and I think they were very good. And then we wrote three songs. We made a little EP. I was actually going to record a rock record and my dad and Andrew kind of teamed up on me on the way to the studio. And they're like, hey, we should demo the kid stuff. I'm like, yeah, but this is my money and this is my studio time. And you know, this record means a lot to me. And they're like, yeah, but my dad was like, well, if you make the kids music, then you'll be able to make a living for music. And then you can make whatever music you want. So I was like, okay. So by the time we got to the studio, instead of making a rock record, I made the first Roly Poly demo, which had Carpenter Paul, Always Brush Your Teeth, and Roly Poly Guacamole on it. And so, you know, we did that and kind of the rest was history. About 10 years later, I was like, hey, didn't we start doing this in order to make like a rock and roll band? And by then we had sold like thousands of CDs by hand and, you know, played extensively across the country. And but yeah, it became my full-time gig. And so yeah, since about 2009, it's just been my full-time job singing. Yeah, so that kind of was like how we got started. I'd say it's like it's kind of meant to be, but also kind of you know, just the way it went. And you know, now we're on, I think we're working on record 12, which will actually be my 13th record, because I have one with my dad also, Dean Jones and Brady Reimer, called Like Father Like Son, which is kind of my little supergroup project that I did a couple years back. So yeah, it's been a long time thing, but yeah, I'd say it all sprung from that.
I hear a little bit of rock and roll in some of the songs that I listen to, and one of the ones that we're going to feature especially. So how did you come up with the name?
Well, so the first demo was actually cut. The demo was called Roly Poly Guacamole, and I really liked Les Claypool at the time, and he had a band called C2B3, and I was like, oh, we should do something like that. So we're using our initials, which were ATFG, and nobody thought that was a good idea. And everyone's like, you should just call it Roly Poly Guacamole. And I was like pretty resistant because of Roly Poly Oly. I was like, well, Disney sues everybody, so this is not a good idea. But apparently everybody disagreed, and by like, I don't know, maybe our second show or third show, we decided to get rid of the initials and just be Roly Poly Guacamole. I think the way we came up with the name for the song Roly Poly Guacamole was Andrew and I were eating a lot of Mexican food at this restaurant called Castro's in Fort Greene. We eat there every week, and he that song by Sean Paul, like, heard about it in early morning, let's get it on. That song was on, and Andrew would just make up his own words over it and said Roly Poly Guacamole like to that. And I think I was like, that's a great song idea. We should just make that a song. So I think that's how the song came to be. So kind of through Sean Paul, that's how we came up with Roly Poly Guacamole.
Very cool. Well, I looked on your website and I saw you had a pretty extensive list of shows. You guys pretty consistent touring, and do you do East Coast or do you kind of spread out among the country?
We've done a lot more in the past. Things have been a little different post-pandemic, and just as we got older, like I used to be like, hey, we're gonna go anywhere in the world. And we drove to Seattle twice, and we played with like Recess Monkey and Casper Baby Pants and the Not Its back in the day at and did some like pretty extensive library tours up in Seattle. In the Midwest, Chicago, I'll still go to whenever I can. We record with our other band at Electrical Audio, which is actually what this hat is I'm wearing, which is Steve Albini's studio. So Chicago's kind of become like a second home for us because I've made about five grown-up records there. And we recorded one Roly Poly song there, which is like the Albini cut of Fire Truck on the Avocado album. But yeah, we play a lot in like Brooklyn and Massachusetts are kind of like our kind of bases. Like each summer we play a lot in Massachusetts and Connecticut to some degree. But definitely our hometown is Brooklyn, and we play pretty much weekly here. And then additionally, I like work at a ton of different schools and preschools and daycares and kindergartens where I just like sing all week long. But we play just about every week in Brooklyn during the regular year, and then mostly East Coast stuff, but
Gotcha.
certainly not limited to that.
Yeah, no, I started doing the show back in 2021, I think. And this was right after the pandemic. So, a lot of the conversation was around, what did artists do during that time when they couldn't go out and play and things like that? Did you guys get more heavily into YouTube and virtual performances, or how did you get through it?
I was doing weekly virtual things. I mostly just was running, literally running from all my problems. I was running like 10 to 13 miles a day at the peak of the pandemic, and I was running like ultra marathons. So a lot of running. It was the first time. So Avocado came out just as the pandemic hit. And so it's kind of unfortunate in a way because it was like, it has the Avocado song on it, which I thought was kind of like a throwaway track, and it wound up being like our most popular song. Like people will come up to me during and post pandemic and be like, you saved our pandemic with Avocado. And I'm like, there's literally one word in that song. I just needed a name for the album. And people love that song. I find typically the song I think is the dumbest is the song that does the best on records. Like on the current record, my least favorite song, maybe not least favorite, one of my least favorite songs is Don't Make a Pee-Pee in Your Pants. And that song is by far the most popular song on the record. And
I would have guessed.
it was like, I was just kicking it around for years because I'd see kids potty training at school and stuff. And I'd be like, it would be a joke. It was like, don't make a pee-pee in your pants. And like, it was just the most typical kid song. And like, as you said, this record rocks. Like we have songs like Ghost Dog and Monster Truck and really beautiful songs like Mommy and Daddy's Gonna Hold You Tight and like Andrew wrote some really nice songs, like the Adventure song and the Peanut Butter and Jelly song is like bossa nova. So it's like we have all this amazing genres that we're working with. We're like really unlike the older we get, the more limitless we kind of feel like our kids' music can be. And yeah, but then the thing that does the best is always like the most simple like thing that, you know, which is also humbling that because, you know, like kids like what kids like, and find a lot of times in this business, people kind of are like, this is what I want kids to like. And it's like, that's not how it works. The kids will like what the kids like, you know. And like the good thing about my day job is that I get to workshop what I'm working on directly with the people that will then buy the records and listen to them. So it's like, you know, I'm really in a really great position where, like, you know, somebody else that has to work at a job and then wants to do this, they don't get that benefit of really getting the, you know, you throw the spaghetti at the wall and then you see, you know, what sticks. And so, like, one of the songs we're gonna play, I think, later is Library Ghost. And that was like after doing Ghost Dog for a year. And like, so the Ghost Dog song, which we're not gonna play, which I was thinking about sending you, is a really amazing story. It's like this dog I used to see in the park from 2009 to 2013 or something like that, or 2012. He lived in the park for 3 years, and it was a mastiff. And you'd see him, and he was huge. And then you'd be like in the ramble, I'd be jogging, and like he'd be next to me, like almost as tall as me. And I'm like, oh my God, there's this giant wild dog here. And then he just vanish. And so post-pandemic, my dog passed away, and I got a new dog, and I adopted this dog from the shelter that Sean Casey owned. And I had asked Sean about the ghost dog because I had read articles about it, and he like took this dog in, nursed it back to health, and then adopted it out after it had been living in the park for 3 years in Prospect Park. And so I'd wanted to do a kid's song about this for a long time, but I didn't have all the facts. And through fate, I was like talking to the guy that rescued the dog, and I got all these other facts, like he moved to Pennsylvania, and like how was he living? He was living in a hollowed out log in a tree, and he lived in this log, and people would bring him food, so he was eating like a ton of food because all these people were feeding him. And then he'd play with all the off-leash dogs all day, but then go back to sleep in this log for 3 years until he got sick. Then Sean took him in, and he got adopted out and lived happily ever after. And so it's like a true story about, but it's the ghost dog. And I even say in the song, like, you know, he gave him lots of bones when he's like re recuperating this dog. And one of the kids once was like, wait, they put bones back into the ghost dog? And I'm like, oh, I never thought of it like that. No, they fed him bones. He was a real dog. He was not actually a ghost. His name was Ghost. Everyone called him Ghost. So, but there's all these like articles about it. But anyway, so that was like a very thought out, really great written song. But then I went to the library in Park Slope, and there was like pink hand soap under the steps. And I was with a 3-year-old, and he's like, oh, this is, I'm like, that's the slime from the library ghost. And so I just like work like off, just an off the cuff, not a song to my kindergarten class. And I was like, and I turned around, but there wasn't anything there. It was the library ghost. And it was like a throwaway. And they came back the next week, and they're like, so when are we doing Library Ghost again? And I'm like, that's not a real song. I just was riffing. It was a joke. And they're like, okay, but when are we going to do Library Ghost again?
It's a song.
And so, but it's one of those things where it's like, once you find out the kids want it, like that's when you have something good at doing this job. And like from doing it for so many years and writing so many songs, like you could see, and like why that song works is because of the anticipation. Like the kids, like, and they could be like a 2-year-old, like a 2-year-old with that song will be, nothing was there. And like by the second time they do the song with them, they're doing the nothing was there before you. And then they put their hand up in the air and go, it was a library ghost. And you're like, this is insane. This is beyond me. And so that's the same thing with avocado, is like 1-year-olds, like kids that cannot say any words go like, oh, they just make like the ah sound, but like really loud. And you're like, this is nuts. So Yeah, I think I got a little off topic, but that's
Now the kids were onto something with Library Ghost.
yeah, Library Ghost, like Avocado, you just don't know. You don't know, but like luckily, yeah, because of my day job, I'm kind of able to now like tap in, like, oh, these ones are working well.
All right. Well, before we get into your album, which is called Digging in the Dirt, I wanted to tee up something and then I'll kind of let you run with it. There is a YouTube video of a kid who lists his three favorite bands.
Yes.
So pick up the story from there because I thought this was great.
So yeah, it was, this is one of those things where you're just like, after this all happened, I was like, do I need to start going to like church? Like, 'cause it was just like the odds of this whole thing happening seemed so improbable. So like, we didn't make one record. We made four records in a year, which is the most I've ever worked. Like we put out an EP a month for 12 months straight. And then like at the culmination of all of that, on January 19th, the last album with the unreleased tracks came out, and 2 days later would be the release show. And so I woke up that morning feeling good, like I got it all done, and I get my phone just starts going like bananas. And the person was like, "Look, you're famous!" And like, I didn't know anything about Recess Therapy. I'd seen the It's Corn video before, but I didn't even know that was Recess Therapy. And so, yeah, Julian from Recess Therapy asked this kid Ike, like, top three bands, go. And that's how the video starts. And he says, Roly Poly Guacamole, Tom Petty, and the Beatles. And then he goes on to like write his own songs, because the video is called How to Write a Hit Song in a Day. And I was like, man, like this is kind of crazy, because I've never had anything go like properly viral before, like, and especially not of music. It's always like a dude on the subway I took a video of once what went kind of viral, but like nothing like this where it's just like keeps going and going and going. And so yeah, and for the course of like, the next couple of weeks, every person I've ever met in my life has contacted me and seen this video now. And
They have
we
what,
went
like
from
40 million views or something like
40
that?
million, yeah, we're over 40 million now. It's nuts. And like, but so 2 days later was our release show for Digging in the Dirt, and Ike had already bought tickets because he's just our fan. And he's not like a fan that I would see weekly at our old Stonehouse show. Like, he had been to some shows, but like, he doesn't live that close. So, but he's like diehard fan. Like, he was listening to the record with, the super group with my dad, like where we did the Traveling Wilburys and stuff. So he's just a really smart kid. And I was like, man, like, I realized within about a day, I'm like, we should probably finish the Yum Yum song and play it at the release show, because he's going to be there and I think he'll dig it. And so I like wrote it in the comments. I'm like, hey, I think we might play the Yum Yum song at the show. Ha ha ha. I had no idea at this point it was going to be like 40 million views. I just knew it was like abnormal. And then, so yeah, 2 days later, him and his mom and his family showed up, and there's video of them dancing to his song at our show, his number one band playing his song, and he was very happy about it. And then we talked about after the show, we're like, hey, I don't want to, the way this all came about, it was so organic and natural. Like, even people are like, are you gonna do the Hot Wheels Crushing the Road song? I'm like, I don't think so. Like, A, it kind of reminds me of Monster Truck to begin with, because it seems like, very similar. But B, like, it just, the Yum Yum song felt like a Roly Poly hook when he wrote it. It just feels like one of our songs anyway. And so I was like, well, I don't want to take advantage. Like, if Ike wants to sing on the song, like, if you guys want to, but like, I'm going to workshop it and then send it over to you and then record it if that's cool. And like, if he wants to sing on it, that'd be great. Or if he doesn't, that'd be great. Like, whatever you want, like, whatever you think the rights should be. I don't care, like, what percentage you, whatever, you think is fair. Like, this is your son's song. Like, he already did us the biggest favor any band could possibly do without knowing it. Like, it was
Yeah.
totally, I mean, we've been many a kid's favorite band, and nobody ever let 40 million people know about it. So like, the whole thing was ridiculous. But so yeah, so we worked on the song with Dean Jones. I think it came out pretty good. One thing I wanted to do was, one of the dads is a pretty good stand-up comedian, rapper, whose kid goes to one of my other daycares, and I wanted him to rap the second verse, and they kind of like nixed the idea. They were just like, yeah, I don't think that rap really goes with this. And I was like, okay, it's not really, you know, it's only half my song. We won't rap. I'll just keep it like OG Roly Poly song, which maybe was a good decision. I don't know. But yeah, because I was just also having trouble coming up with like, how do I keep the verses like in Ike's realm without like, I wanted it to feel like his song still without, you know, and like do it tastefully. So I think we did a good job. And then so since then, we've now recorded a music video where Julian, who's, you know, kind of a celebrity on TikTok and Instagram and everything, he is the waiter serving us the tasty and yucky dinner to me, Ike, and Andrew, who are at this table. And we kind of had a bunch of our fans come and dance in front of a green screen and just made this like really silly video, which is going to come out probably before the podcast does. I think it's going to come out in a day or two.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that's yeah, that's the that's kind of how that all went. Additionally though, like, yeah, I wasn't planning on starting a new record because we made four this year. And but now we're like halfway into the next record. So this next record we're working on is called On the Stoop. It's a very Park Slope kind of Brooklyn centric record, but yeah, we have about like half of the record written already, and we're probably going to release it sometime in early winter.
Very good. You are prolific. Well, let's talk about digging in the dirt while that one's still fresh.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk a little bit about how this album came together. How did you kind of pick the songs for it, and what fun stories do you have in the making of this one?
So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like we finished Avocado, and it was the first time I wasn't really in production of anything in a long, long time, maybe since 2013 or something. And I didn't know what to do. I made a solo grown-up record first with Dean remotely during the pandemic, and then I actually got COVID while I was in Hawaii, and I got locked in a hotel room. And then when I got back, I had studio time at Albini's, but I didn't have the songs ready to make our we have an opposite band of Roly Poly, which I won't talk very much about, but I was gonna make a record with that band, but we didn't have our act together. So I wrote this whole ukulele album thinking I would write a kid's ukulele album. But when you're locked in a hotel watching people have fun on the beach, it's impossible to write children's music. So I made our uke rock solo record next. And I did write lyrics on the way to that trip, though, which wound up being lyrics for Tropical Santa. And because I had seen somebody on the beach in Florida that looked like Santa surfing earlier. So that was, we had some song ideas. And then Digging in the Dirt actually is a pandemic song. So when we first went back to school, we had to do all of my kindergarten after school music classes were held outside in Prospect Park. We couldn't do any indoor classes. So these kids, if it was raining, it didn't matter. They had to go outside. And they were kind of like a very, they're probably the most feral kindergarten class I've ever had because they were locked inside for like a year first. And so about halfway through music class each week, Miss Parker, who's kind of a retired kindergarten teacher, but she's the after school music teacher. She's a delight, but she'd be like, Frank, could you let the kids like dig in the dirt for a little bit, and then sing a song while they do that? Because they really like digging. And I'm like, okay. And so I would just like kind of riff on what the song wound up becoming, like similar chord pattern, and I'd be like, digging in the dirt, do do do. And then they would find things and be like, oh, they found a bottle cap, you know. And there was no real form to the song, but so that was kind of the inspiration for the whole record, which is the opposite of Avocado, which like Avocado came at the end. Digging in the Dirt was one of the first concepts for Digging in the Dirt, and then Tropical Santa, I think, and then the other 18 songs followed. It's, you know, the longest record we've made. It's a double vinyl. We have a deluxe vinyl for it. Trying to think of what other songs, like, they just, you know, the rest of them all just kind of got workshopped at school. Some of them Andrew had also from like early pandemic, like I think the adventure song he'd written sometime earlier and he didn't have lyrics, and then like we put lyrics into it. And he's in school, so like the PB&J song, for instance, was like He had to write a bossa nova for his music class, and he's like, "I think we should do a bossa nova kids song." I'm like, "Well, I don't know how good I'm going to be at playing that guitar." So we actually had one of Dean Jones's buddies who's really good at playing bossa nova play the guitar part on that one. But the song's kind of come about all different ways. Like a lot of our good. I prefer the songs that are more collaborative in general. Like they're like Basketball Jane on the last record and PB and J on this one are like one where it's like a very collaborative writing effort. And I just feel like we get more out of those songs, or I do as a writer, because it's like not something that I come to Andrew. I'm like, hey, here's the song. Like, play some bass on this. And it's like more, it has more of both of our personalities. So those are the songs I prefer usually, but there's all every possible way of making a song on this record. Like I wanted to make a TikTok dance, and I was like, Andrew had to go up there to record bass on a bunch of stuff anyway. So I'm like, dude, just record some kind of a bass line and I'll just write the words later, and like we'll make it kind of simple. And then he wrote the bass line with and then Dean did the rest of the music, I think, for Do the Guacamole. And we haven't made a video for that, but it's like a very deliberate, like, TikTok dance where you put your left foot in. It's almost like the Hokey Pokey, but like kind of sillier, and you spin and stuff. So, like, that song was written in a very unconventional way for us. Some of them, like Monster Truck or something, where I just kind of write it at work and then I'm like, here's the song. Ghost Dog was kind of like that, but then once we got closer to it being done, Andrew kind of helped rework some of the music of it. So it was like, and that's one of my favorite tracks on the album is Ghost Dog, because it's like, it's kind of like story of a hurricane, but for kids. Like it's, because it's a very involved story and it's like 6 minutes long. And it amazes me that, I'm always amazed when like a longer song works, because as a lot of kids' attention is not
Attention spans,
able to
yep.
do that. But then I learned from the last record, on Avocado, we have a song called Sammy the Cat, and it's like 10 minutes long. And kids ask for that song over and over again. And I'm like, it's 10 minutes. Like, we can't do it every week. But yeah, so after that one, I'm kind of like, the song is what it is. And people will like, I kind of also just like have made peace with, like, I know that it's more than 3 minutes, you're gonna lose folk. Like, I don't deal with any of that. Like, some songs are a minute, some songs are 6 minutes, and but yeah, like, and as I was saying earlier, like, what Digging in the Dirt is a very eclectic record, like, a pretty strategic, like borderline, like obsessive when it comes to track flow of the records in general. I really sit on the track order and move it around. And, Questlove said that he, when he's working on a record, will just like put it in a CD player in his car and drive around and listen to it. And I've always been kind of a little self-conscious about listening to what I'm working on, because I'm always working on something. So I'm always listening to what I'm working on for my entire life. And, when you're in a position of being an entertainer, there's a certain amount of like ego that you need to have, because you're a public figure and you need to interact with your community and stuff. And then there's also like, the people in my life are like, okay, we don't, we've heard you work on these songs for like a year. Like, we don't want to, by the time the thing comes out, they don't want to hear it. And like, you should honestly, by the time your art comes out, probably not want to hear it if you're making good art. But yeah, so like the actual track flow of the record, like from start to finish, I'm quite pleased with like how it goes, and how, even though some of it, like I said, is really rocking and really aggressive, then you get like a nice song like the Adventure Song, which is like pretty. And then you get like the Ghost Dog, which is, yeah, like an anthem. But then there's Mommy's Gonna Hold You Tight, which is like, once again, pretty and beautiful. And then there's just like silly things like the Lobster Song is another one that like Andrew was up there recording something else, and I got there and he had most of the song done. But then I did like some of the typical like John Lennon contradictory stuff. Like, I really like those Beatles songs where like John is doing the negative and Paul's doing the positive. So like he's like, I'm a lobster. I'm like, no, I'm a langoustine. And it's, I think it really, but like, yeah, I didn't know anything about that song until I got there, and I was like, oh, this is great. So yeah,
All
it's
right.
a really, really vast album, and I think there's lots to there's something that I think there's something that anybody somebody sh everybody should like something on that record, because it's, if you can get through it, if you have an hour and 20 minutes to listen to music.
Well, we have, like I said, the songs we're going to feature today are quite eclectic, and you've talked about digging in the dirt, so we'll kick off with that one. So here it is, Digging in the Dirt by Roly Poly Guacamole.
Dig, 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 dig. Dig, 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 dig. When I was just a little boy, I went outside to play. I brought my favorite shovel, I knew it'd be the way. So I dug on down to China, see what they had down there. But I didn't find what I was looking for, so I kept right on. Digging in the dirt. Do, 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 do. Oh, digging in the dirt. Do, 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 do. Oh, digging in the dirt. Da, 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 da. Oh, digging in the dirt. Do, do, do. And when I got a little older, you know I kept on digging. I thought when I grew up I would try digging for a living. So I dug down to Australia, found a wallaby and a kangaroo, a crocodile, a koala bear, Tasmanian devil too. I kept digging in the dirt. Do, 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 do. Oh, digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt. Da, 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 da. Oh, digging in the dirt. Do, do, do. Let's dig. Dig, 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 dig. I went out and I bought a front-end loader. I was sick of digging every day with that shovel over my shoulder. But I didn't get no satisfaction, I went right back on digging. I dug every day till I couldn't use those arms no more. Digging in the dirt. Do, 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 do. Digging in the dirt. Da, 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 da. Oh, digging in the dirt. Do, 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 do. Digging in the dirt. Do, 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 do. Let's dig. Dig, 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 dig. And when I was too old and it was time for me to retire, I hung my shovel on the mantelpiece just above the fire, and I moved down to the shore to let these old bones expire. But I found the beach was full of this stuff that was quite a good deal lighter. So do you know what I did?
What'd you do?
I started digging in the sand. Digging in the sand.
That was Digging in the Dirt. All right, this next song, Monster Truck. I love it. You talked about rock and roll and wanting to do that. Again, kids, music, all sorts of genres work. And this one, you have merged rock and roll and kids music very well. So talk about this one.
Well, yeah, so this is another one where I was like, I'm gonna take a chance on this. Like, I know kids have loved the Fire Truck song, which is our friend Ivan Altz's song, but we've been playing it for years and kind of carrying on his legacy by continuing to, play a very raucous version. We were happy that he had told us previously that our version was his favorite of the covers of his song. So, for years we've done that. And so I know kids can really get down with the, with a rock song. But I think with Monster Truck, I pushed it to the next plateau. I'm like, all right, this is basically like a borderline, metal song for kids. It thrashes hard, and but yeah, the kids, they mosh, they have a great time. And I didn't quite understand how big Monster Trucks had become. Like, when we were kids, they were fine. Like, there's like Bigfoot, and but it today, like Hot Wheels and the whole thing with Monster Trucks is just like exploded, whereas like every kid under five is just like obsessed with Monster Trucks. So I thought, this is the next logical truck mosh song. To counter it though, one of the songs that we're not going to play is Princess Dress, which is the kind of opposite. And I realized like all of these really heavy songs, we have like A Bada Bada, and like all of our songs that really rock seem to be very like masculine boy centric. So I wanted something that rocked just that hard, that was more like had more feminine energy. So Princess Dress is the counterpart to Monster Truck, which is also on Digging in the Dirt. And like Ike wore a princess dress to the release, and there was a huge mosh pit of princesses, which is amazing too. So yeah, anyway, but yeah, we have a good chunk of our show now where it's just like a giant mosh pit. Also Bird is the Word is another one of those kind of songs, but anyway, I digress. But Monster Truck, yeah, is the kind of the first song on this record that really we turned it up to 11.
Oh, I dig it. Kids have a ton of energy, and then this plays right into that. So here it is, Monster Truck by Roly Poly Guacamole. Was Monster Truck. All right, the next song, I think you talked about a little bit earlier, PB and J. Tell us about this one.
So yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, Andrew, he was like, we got to do a bossa nova. I learned how to do it properly at school now, and like, my professor's gonna love it. And so I was like, okay, all right, we can do it. But like, how do we do a bossa nova that's not like that's not like a knockoff or not cheesy. Like I couldn't, took me a minute to like really think up an idea. And this was another one of those things where we're just in the car driving around Massachusetts or upstate or something. And so I was like, well, what if we make it about sandwiches? Like really just like about sandwiches. So we started, actually, I think we were in Westchester. And so we started writing maybe the first verse together, in that car ride. And then, we got quite a bit of it down. And I was like, send me the recording. Let me work on this some more. And kind of over the next week or a couple of days, I kind of just sat with it, and I was like giggling to myself because there's some really like there's like Italian and French we speak in there, and like it's just like
I actually made a
it's like
note about this song.
I was
Explain
like,
the French part.
yeah. So I was just like, I thought it was like. Also, I love Sopranos, and in one of the seasons, Artie Bucco like gets he gets in trouble by going in on this French liqueur, and then like the guy steals his money, and he's like, "Qu'est-ce que c'est? Qu'est-ce que c'est?" So, like, "Qu'est-ce que c'est?" was actually a nod to Artie Bucco. But I thought "Como se dice qu'est-ce que c'est?" is hilarious because it's like just so dumb. But it's I think this is a very kids like the song, but I think the parents will probably really enjoy the song equally as much, maybe. But then Andrew has a lot of friends in France. His mom, when she came here, a lot of the people that immigrated from Russia wound up in France and stayed, and the rest of them came here. But Andrew has all these like family childhood friends in France, so he goes there every couple of years, and they've come here, and we've driven around with some of them. And so he has all these buddies that speak French. So after we kind of started working on the actual recording, we're like, oh, we should get Adrian to just like do like a little monologue about sandwiches in French that we could put under the bossa solo. And so we're like, Dean, hold on, we're gonna send you a French monologue about sandwiches. So it's just like, we really like the band Ween. I don't know if you're familiar with
I
Ween,
like
but
Ween too.
that's like our realm of, it's kind of like I had the best time at your party kind of sense of humor, I feel like, so
Yeah,
yeah.
thanks to SpongeBob's movie, my kids got introduced to Ween with Ocean Man. They all love that
Yeah.
song.
Well, so yeah, we covered Ocean Man on one of the other records that we put out earlier this year at Earworms. And actually, our grown-up band played as Ween for Halloween, because that's what the bands all do here. Like, they pick a band and then they no one is themselves for Halloween. So we wound up being Ween for like 2 or 3 months, because we got asked to do one again Thanksgiving, and then we did one in January, and then my drummer was like, dude, I'm not doing any more Ween shows because I don't want to not like Ween. And if we keep playing Ween, I'm not gonna like it anymore. So we did three Ween shows, and we're like, all right, that's enough of us being Ween. But yeah, they've definitely shaped a lot of like how our albums got to be as eclectic as they are. Cause when I didn't like them when I was in high school. I definitely liked them like, in college or just after college. And even then I like, I listened to the Mollusk first. I'm like, wow, this is really eclectic. And then I didn't even realize, how eclectic you can be, because when you're younger, you're like, I like this genre, I like grunge, I like rock and roll or the Red Hot Chili Peppers or something, and then you're like, oh, this band plays all the things. So
They do, yeah.
we kind of aspire to do that, but for kids music, we're doing all the different genres and whatever the song calls for, but yeah, I'm very proud of PB&J. Like I said, it was very collaborative writing it with Andrew, and I like that I'm not even playing guitar on it. I like when I don't have to play instruments, because sometimes I play like all the instruments on something, and then I'm happy when it goes the other way where I'm like, I'm just singing on this, and I wrote the words and like sculpted and produced the thing. But like the more hands off I am, and the more I could like have featured things, and then it's something I'm really happy with, like the more I can enjoy it after the fact,
Yep.
so.
Well, maybe Ween will pick up a few new listeners after people listen to this episode, but let's play PB and J. Here it is, Roly Poly Guacamole.
Thank you. pastrami, sauerkraut on rye. Others prefer a ham and cheese. But it's so hard to pick the perfect sandwich that everybody likes. Perhaps we'll try a nice banh mi. A meatball palm would be heaven in my arms. Fried egg sandwich would be a dream. But it's so hard to pick the perfect sandwich that everybody likes. I want chicken, I want beef. Some folks find that a croque monsieur croissant is mighty fine, especially on an autumn day. A bacon club or a hot Italian sub che bella. Come sa DJ, qu'est-ce que c'est? That everybody likes, liverwurst or salami. Some folks like a tuna niçoise with a fresh tomato slice. It's perfect for a rainy day. A turkey club or a Philly cheesesteak sub.
We got it!
But we must have PB&J. It's the greatest of the flavor combinations of all time.
The Holy Trinity Divine.
When you pair it with a glass of milk, it's absolute delight.
Let us savor every bite. We must have PB&J. Let us have PB&J.
Was PB&J. All right, we are going to move away from the album Digging in the Dirt and go into a couple of other songs. They're going to be on your next album that you mentioned, On the Stoop, but they are out right now. One you talked about, Library Ghost, you kind of set the stage for how this song came to be. Anything else you want to tell us about this one?
Well, so, you know, we're playing at least a 50-date library tour this summer. It might wind up being more because I think the Brooklyn Library hasn't quite done their booking yet, so might be something like 60 dates. So initially when we started working on the Yum Yum song, I was like, well, we should start this Library Ghost song because I know it's working with the kids and we're going on this tour. So it's, you know, it'll be on the next record. And then after we started, went in production on it, pretty big Ghostbusters fan, I found out that the new Ghostbusters film features the library ghost. And while our library ghost is not necessarily the same, library ghost is definitely inspired by it. And so I was like, oh, like this would be a very bad idea to not release Library Ghost like as quickly as possible, because in a week, the Library Ghost is making its first apparition since 1984. So it's been 40 years since anyone has seen the Library Ghost. And now everyone's going to be reintroduced to it. So, you know, instead of the song coming out in June or something, I was like, well, I'll just put it on to the B side of the Yum Yum single. So that's, we kind of like rush production on it slightly just to get it out there with the new Ghostbusters, which is a little spooky for the younger kids, but it was pretty good movie. And I was happy to see the Library Ghost back on the big screen.
Yeah. I'll admit, as soon as I saw the name of that song, again, being somebody who's so influenced by everything 80s, I immediately thought of Ghostbusters. And my daughter actually just went and saw the new Ghostbusters movie. I think she had not seen any of the other ones.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, wow, you got to go back and at least watch Ghostbusters, the first one.
Yeah, you know, and Afterlife is actually great. I think it might be my second favorite movie is the previous one. Like the reboot is quite good, actually.
All right.
My comment about that is like the kids were more, they were really funny in the first one. This new movie was great because like it had more of the original cast and stuff, but the previous one, the kids were like really funny. It felt like a Steven Spielberg movie or something. So, but check out the new one. Library Ghost is in it. And I hope, you know, everyone likes Library Ghost as much as I do. Oh, I will say there's a nice string section. Our friend Will Wren, who's been helping us record stuff here in Brooklyn and has a really cool studio. Will's playing cello on this, along with Marianne, who's one of Dean's buddies upstate.
Very cool. This is a very cool song. I dug it. Here it is. Library Ghost by Roly Poly Guacamole.
Disheveled with pink slime dripping off it. Just then I stubbed my toe. I said, oh! And then I heard it for the first time. It went, shh. But when I turned around, nothing was there. It was the library ghost! Nothing was there. It was a library ghost. It was a library ghost. Found myself in the children's department. I asked the librarian, what's a good book I could read? She gave me a really cool looking pop-up book. Best one I ever read. It was really funny too, so it made me laugh out loud. I said, just as I did, I heard it again, went shh. But when I turned around, nothing was there. It was the library ghost. It was the library ghost. It was the library ghost. You know, they say that if you happen to go to the library, start raising a ruckus in there, making lots of sounds, someone might turn to you and say, shh. But when you look behind you, if there's no one standing there, then now you know that you just had yourself an encounter with the library ghost.
That was Library Ghost, and we are going to wrap it up with Yum, Yum, Yum. I love a tasty dinner. Tell us about this one.
Well, you know, like I said, this song came to fruition through the magic of the universe. Couldn't have thought that the song would exist 2 months ago, but now it does. And we've never written a song with a fan before, so it's our first like really collaborative effort from beyond just me and Andrew, or like a cover song of somebody we liked. So you know, it was a really amazing organic experience. Some people had suggested that we do this all the time, like you should just have lots of kids send you ideas and write lots of songs with them. I'm like, I don't know, seems like a lot of work. but this song, you know, it just came, like I said, it sounded to me when he sang it like a roly-poly song, and as we're his number one favorite band, I could see maybe he was, you know, influenced by us, our writing style or something. So yeah, it's just you know, we want to say thanks to Ike for bringing this into the universe and trusting us to finish it, and we're really happy that it came out as good as it did, and we hope everyone likes it.
Yeah, now you have given Ike a great memory and experience that he'll remember for the rest of his life. And you know, it's that story was amazing that you know, he was part of, and awesome. All right, well, let's play this song. Here it is, Yum Yum Yum. I Love a Tasty Dinner by Roly Poly Guacamole.
Yum, 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 love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 the steel.
dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. One fateful night I had a lovely dinner. It was the best thing I ever did taste. One dreadful night I had a yucky dinner. It was the worst, it was a big disgrace. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 I love a tasty dinner. Yuck, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 this dinner tastes bad. Yum, 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 this dinner tastes bad.
Dessert. That was Yum Yum Yum, I Love a Tasty Dinner. So that song and Library Ghost are out now, and they will be on your next album. The first three songs, Digging in the Dirt, Monster Truck, and PB&J, they are all on the album Digging in the Dirt. So let everybody know, where can they find, stream, download your music, and how can they find and connect with you on social media?
So, you know, you can stream in all the places and Spotify and Apple and YouTube. On social media, it's at RolyPolyGuac, which is RolyPolyGuac. We're on TikTok. I think it's the same thing. Our website's just RolyPolyGuacamole.com. And hopefully we'll see you all at a show sometime. And if you want us to come play a show wherever in the world you might be, shoot us a line and George Carlin always said, if there's a zip code, I'll be there. And I subscribe to that philosophy. So, you know, if you got a zip code, we'll be there. And maybe even if you don't.
Very cool. Well, if you are ever out in Vegas, my daughter and I will be there. Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us your story and introducing the songs. It's been a pleasure having you on. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
You got it.